Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our NFL playoff coverage on 610 is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eat, drink, and see the scenic views. Very excited right now to be joined by our guest. He is in studio right now. He is one of the greatest defensive players in the history of the Chiefs organization. Tamba Hali joins us in studio. Tamba, I think everybody wants to know, what have you been up to, my man?
Raising kids, doing music, doing jiu-jitsu, traveling to Africa, trying to get involved in a community here. Everything is new for me every day.
You know. What's exciting about this time is someone who played in the NFL, you played in 7 postseason games, you know the importance, the magnitude of these games. What kind of excitement does that bring back for you?
Well, you know, it's high-level football. You know, guys are on top of their game. And so competition is at its peak, and anyone who's watching will see the best players in the league at this time playing at a very high level.
Do you remember your first playoff game?
Yeah, we play Peyton Manning and those guys. We did well on defense, but just couldn't win that game.
So I'm looking at it right here. You guys played on the road against the Colts. That was your first playoff game. You held them to 23. You know, you would think that that would be enough, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, I mean, we had some great players on that team. Trent Green just had come back from his – he was out the entire year. Damien Huer did a phenomenal job as quarterback. Larry was supposed to rush for a lot of yards, and that didn't work because they knew our game plan. Larry was our horse. But it's fun times. You know, you had Ty Law. He took away the ball 3 times from Peyton. So, but Peyton went on to win the game, win the Super Bowl. So it's huge.
Who was the toughest quarterback during your time to go up against? Like, you knew going into it because you played in an era with – some really good quarterbacks. Like, that's in the middle of the Peyton run, the middle of the Brady run. Breeze, Rodgers is getting his start. Roethlisberger, there's a lot of great quarterbacks. Who was that one that you knew that week you had to put in a little extra preparation?
Well, it had to be Peyton. Peyton had to get the ball out quick. He got the ball out quick, and he's very smart. He's like a coach on the field. Peyton.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Tamba Hali. You got a chance to play in 3 separate playoff games at Arrowhead. There's been a lot of conversation about Burrowhead, and I want to get your thoughts on this game and this matchup and the back and forth between these two teams. I think it's going to be a really exciting weekend of football in general, the AFC and the NFC. What's it like to run out of that tunnel for a playoff game? Because we've seen some big Monday night and Sunday night games. The intensity just gets ratcheted up even more in the postseason.
It's one of the most exciting experience you're going to have. Obviously, coming from Penn State, we have a similar atmosphere, but Kansas City and the entire NFL is just a college atmosphere. So when you're coming out of, you know, Andy came in and changed the structure. It wasn't like that. We wouldn't run out. You know, you get your name called. Andy changed all of that, and it really makes the players come out to perform.
Do you remember your first time running out of the tunnel?
Those things, okay. The first time I ran out the tunnel, let me see. I can't remember, man. I'm too excited. I was ready to play football. I cannot say, oh, man, I remember that first time.
I just can't imagine the jolt that kind of just goes through your body when, and I understand you played at a big university. So, I mean, not a lot of, you know, college players got the opportunity. Happy Valley, you played at those night games. Just the jolt of energy that runs through your body. And, you know, you became one of the popular players. You had a famous touch, you know, a sack celebration. Like, you became one of those guys. The jolt that just goes through your body when you run out there and it's 70,000 people screaming you on.
It's huge. I mean, these are committed fans that's coming to the games. People got season tickets. They're coming to support every. I remember times we wasn't good, and we have fans in the stands still cheering. You know, still had that hope. But the most exciting part, I'll say, is when you make a play. You know what happens, and then running out the tunnel is an experience. But when you get on that field and make a play, and you have 70,000 people that's watching it live, I don't even know how to explain that.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Tamba Hali. I'm sure by now you've heard the back and forth between these two teams. I would say it's been a lot more of the Cincinnati side of it than Kansas City, at least for this matchup. What's it like for a player like you that played for the Chiefs, played with one organization, to hear an opposing player call it Burrowhead the way that the Bengals have?
Well, I don't know. Joe didn't come out and start saying
this. No, Joe hasn't said it as much. Okay. It's just been everybody else beside Joe. It was the mayor of the city. It was Mike Hilton, a corner for them. Oh. It's sort of been a theme in Cincinnati that they're coming to Burrowhead.
Well, you know, again, it's a little disrespect to what we got going here. And it's not in comparison. You keep comparing the quarterbacks. And it really doesn't compare. I mean, Patrick is a prolific quarterback. You paid him all that money. He has shown that he can do this. And he's been there twice already and hosted five of them here. So you should really turn the script. We're playing in the season. You know, I mean, we may lose that game, but these are the games that matter. And, yeah, Patrick haven't come on the top. Did we lose two playoff games to them or just, you know, one?
Yeah, just the one. The
one.
AFC
so, yeah, so
game,
let's really focus in. He only got one over Patrick when it comes to the playoff, right? So Patrick gets a chance to even up the score a little bit.
What kind of pride do you guys take at playing at home? Just knowing the home field advantage, knowing the crowd, knowing the atmosphere and the tradition. What was the pride that you guys took in defending Arrowhead's honor whenever teams would come in there?
I mean, you know, we're players, so we prepare to come in there, especially when we have our 12th man, which is our fans. And so to come in there and perform and win in our stadium is huge. Obviously, when you do it on the road, it's a statement. But at home, you know, we're obligated to come out there and give our best game.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Tamba Hali here, going through, getting some stories from him and also getting you ready for the AFC Championship game. You didn't get a chance to play with Patrick Mahomes as a starter. You get there your last year. He gets drafted. Did you know that he had a chance to be special when you got a chance to go against him in practice, just kind of watch how he conducted himself?
Yeah, I mean, as far as football go, you're not going to say, oh, we envisioned Patrick to be doing what he's doing. But we knew he had a good quarterback. We all can see it. At times, guys wanted for Patrick to be in the game. But we knew that there was a grooming time for him to learn from another really, to me, Alex is one of the best that played the game. And he had a chance to do it with Alex. And now we're watching him really excel with the coaching staff and the program that he's in. I mean, you can't say you can pinpoint it, but you can, from his personality to the way he conducts himself on the field, off the field, you know, Mahomes is special.
I know as a defensive player, you're not in the meetings and those things, but did you see Alex doing a lot of the mentoring? There's been a lot about that. And Patrick gives Alex, every time he speaks about Alex, nothing but praise, talks about how he helped him along. Do you see that a lot as a defensive player, him kind of getting him ready to take over the reins the next year?
Yeah. Mahomes was having fun. I mean, the best thing you can do is, it's like a red shirt. You know, you come into college, you got a better quarterback, he's on his way out, and you red shirt 1 year. He did that, and Alex really just pretty much opened up everything he can for Mahomes, because it's an understanding. Someone's coming in. You know what's going to happen with you, and the best you can do is try to transfer the information you have. And Alex did that. He did that. You know, from when I was there, he did that. Alex is a quiet guy, as much as he's doing, you know, commentating now. He's very quiet.
How crazy is it to see Alex doing that? I would have never have guessed that for him. Just, he wasn't always the most vocal kind of player. So the fact that, I mean, he's having a good media career. I think he's really good at it. I think he has a future. What's it like to see him now be an analyst type?
I love seeing it because he's so smart. You know, you got RG3 who pretty much, you know, take over the show. And it forces Alex to kind of get out of his comfort zone and kind of, you know, spar a little bit with RG3. But it's kind of cool, you know. Alex is one of those guys you're rooting for because he's been through so much, you know, with the injury and the different teams. And, you know, he could have won a Super Bowl, but.
I feel like you have a lot of respect for Alex. Like, you guys have a good relationship.
Yeah, I mean, Alex came and changed our career here. I mean, to be honest, Andy Reid, our coach, and then we get a quarterback. Because we had a lot of quarterbacks prior to Alex coming. And when Alex came in, you know, he competed. That's what we like because we're defensive players. We want to see people competing. Alex did that.
Right now we're joined in studio by Tamba Hali. You mentioned the culture change. Talk to us about that transformation because you went from a time where certainly saw a lot of highs and lows early on in your career. And then Andy gets here. And I mean, it's been a decade.
Yeah.
Incredible. Like, this is one of the greatest runs in the history of the National Football League. Just talk to us a little bit about that culture that you remember before. And when you started to see that, hey, it's not going to be how it was here in Kansas City now that Andy's around.
Yeah. We went from Scott Pioli. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Scott was more of a, like everyone says, a micromanager. He was on top of everything. It's not that Andy isn't. Andy is more open to what we as players like. You know, he has his rules and what his expectations are for us, but he allows us to let our personality show. So you don't come to work and you're kind of like uptight about things. If anything's on your mind, you can share it. There's a committee. There's a leadership committee. Outside of that leadership committee, each room or each position room has at least 2 to 3, leaders in there that's supposed to make sure the core group is working. And then there was a lot of sacrifice by a lot of the players. We had to now realize this is real. You know, Andy's doing his side. We have to put in time. And so a lot of things change as far as the way we conduct ourselves, the way we can be free getting on the field, the way the organization is going about us. It wasn't like that, you know. And if a player felt like, oh, you know, this is happening, he can become mad and stuff and kind of ruin our plans. It's not like that. Everybody's on board with Andy. If you're not on board, you're not even going to hit that field. And that's the kind, you know, it's almost that's that kind of culture you want because it's competitive. We're all competing. So your backups is just as good as you. And that's what Andy does for us, you know, with the team.
What does that mean for your career? Just to be in a situation that, you know, football is about stability. It's about structure. It's about routine where maybe you didn't always have maybe the right structure, the right environment. Mm-hmm. But then you get placed into a situation where you are allowed to grow. You are allowed to show more of that freedom. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for your career?
It makes you better. You're in a competitive environment. You're around good people. And they're all trying to get to the same place as you. So you have a responsibility to these other guys. You're accountable to these other guys. You know, before, it's a little different. Everybody's selfish. Oh, I want more sacks. I want, you know, I'm focused on me. When you're playing in Andy's system, yeah, it's a team thing. Like, because Andy has proven I don't need one player. I need a bunch of guys that's interested in playing football, love doing it, and that's kind of the atmosphere he puts together.
It just seems to me, just for someone who has coached in as many different places as Andy, from being a college coach to now, normally if I hear a story where somebody has a problem with Andy, I assume the problem is with you. You know, so many players have your story about Andy and the respect and all of those things. It's hard to get to that level in the National Football League. Somebody's always got an opinion, but the opinion towards Andy just seems to be overwhelmingly positive from former players.
Because he cares for people. I don't think when it comes to football, that's too easy for him. It's the kind of people that he wants to be around, you know, to win with. You know, you can win with a lot of talent, you know, but if they're not good people, you know, it will follow. But if you win with good people and you find those people, and that's what Andy prides on, you may look at the Kansas City Chiefs and you may not say, oh, this is the best player. But these guys know how to work together better than most players. So the praise is for the coach. The coach is like our father who knows how to take care of us and make sure we can go out there and perform. It's hard to find.
What's it like seeing them have this kind of success? Just to go from not being just a good team, because you guys had some really good years when you were in Kansas City. I mean, they've taken it now where I think over the time that Patrick Mahomes has been here, they have been the best team in the National Football League for now a half decade, and they're doing things that not even New England did, not even the Steelers did back in the day, the Cowboys. To host the AFC or NFC championship game now for a half decade is just remarkable.
Yeah.
What is it like to see them have this kind of success?
Well, it's great for our community here. For a long time, we had won games, but we never really passed the first round. And for Coach, if we're just talking about Coach, the amount of patience that he has with players and organizations that he's worked with to try to get to the Super Bowl each year, and he does a great job, you know. And for us here in Kansas City to see a winning culture here, and everybody is just happy about that. It's good for our place, you know. It's a small place. It's good. Kansas City is not big, so to have this amount of light, you know, coming towards us, it's a positive thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I don't know how much you kept up with it or not, but there were some conversations about, and there still might be some conversations about moving the AFC championship game, the NFC championship game to neutral sites. And that part you talk about community, I mean, we've seen it in Kansas City here over the last 5 years, the jolt that it gives your city to be able to host these kind of games. You think of these kind of sporting events, they're normally in a L.A. or a Los Angeles or right. One of those kind of places. But Jacksonville can host this game. Green Bay can host this game. Kansas City can host this game. Like, that's what I think makes the reward of the regular season. You earn this over the course of 18 weeks. You earn the opportunity to host a football game of this magnitude.
Yeah, I mean, we're working as a community. The team is a huge part of this community, and these guys dedicate their times, not just from the football side, from the business side, you know, to dedicate their time to put together this kind of structure. So when we get to this time, the city can be rewarded what they're due. These guys have worked for this. So it shouldn't go to some neutral site where it doesn't make any sense. I mean, this is what we all work for. The Super Bowl makes sense. There's your neutral site, but not the AFC championship. It's for the fans.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Tamba Hali. It's funny because a lot of these key guys in the game, you either played with at some point, you were, you know, drafted alongside them, or you've maybe had a chance to mentor them a little bit. Like, you were on the team with Travis Kelce. Like, what's it like to see that kid get drafted to now? You could argue that he's the greatest tight end of all time in his position.
Yeah, Travis has a lot of patience. Travis came in the game, took a whole year off, you know, and he could have played that year, but I think he went through some, you know, surgery or whatever the case may be, and came back the next year and just started performing. When they bring these guys in, I was there, I can just tell that you got good players, you know, like Travis is a good guy. As much, you know, as you don't like it, Travis just cocky and he's going to flex on you, but when we come to practice, I remember arguing with Travis one time at practice because, you know, we're defensive ends. We're supposed to jack him up. And then I don't jack him up. He jacks me up. So I'm, like, getting mad at Travis, and he's trying to tell me, I got to do my job, Tumblr. I'm just trying to do my job, you know. And that's the character you need. You need someone who's not going to just say, oh, you know, that this guy's supposed to be a good guy. Let's take it easy. He's like, no, I'm coming. I'm going to try to block you, and that's Travis.
Well, I got to ask you this question. We ask everybody this. Who do you think is better? Their absolute peak. You can have Travis Kelce, or you can have Tony Gonzalez, their absolute peak. Which one are you taking?
Can I take both?
No, you can only pick one of them here, Tom, but you can't pick both of them.
I played with Tony. You know, I love Tony. Tony is a huge competitor, like huge. Here's a story, and Tony would attest to this. I was going hard against Tony in practice, and Trent was the quarterback, and I'm beating Tony, and Tony got upset, and Tony can say he didn't do this, but Tony took me to the ground, and there's a rib my right side, and Tony, you know, put his knee into my rib, and I don't hold this against Tony because it's football, and I was out for 3 weeks. So that's the kind of competitor Tony is. Tony is like, slow down. You know, I'm going to make sure you get it. Travis, I like Travis because he works with the team. You know, nothing bad against Tony, but Travis is a team player. If he knows he's good. He knows you're going to need me. If he doesn't catch the ball at all in the first half, it's okay with Travis. I don't know if that's the same for Tony. You know, Tony is a competitor. He's like a Jordan. I need the ball. So I don't know which one I would want to pick, but I will go with Travis because I'm more of a team guy. You know, it's not about me. it's about us. So,
what do you miss most about playing football? Is it the camaraderie, just kind of hanging out, being one of the guys in the locker room, or is it that competition? You could probably sit here and tell us practice stories, game stories, and just playing football at the absolute highest level. You have this dream of doing it, and you're one of the few people that got the opportunity to make it to the National Football League and have a lot of success doing it. Do you miss the camaraderie part more of it or the competition part?
Yeah, just being around the guys. I think that's the biggest part in any job, is being around good people and working towards a goal. And with football, it's changing each year. It changes. You have a new team. And to have an opportunity to work with those guys is, and try to get something accomplished, is more gratifying to me. And that's what I miss, working with those guys.
Do you have any interest in coaching? Like tomorrow, if Andy called you up and said, hey, we'd love to have you at training camp to coach, would you do it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Andy's calling, that means it's important. Yeah, I mean, it's not – those are our fathers. And if they need our – you know, whatever we're doing in life, it's not more important than when those guys are calling, you know?
Yeah, I wonder how you would do in that situation, because, like, you've got, like, a very calming demeanor about you. Mm-hmm. And you probably have – you have a lot of wisdom that I think you could give a young defensive lineman, a guy like George Karloftis, who's – just starting his career and having some success.
Yeah, I want to work with George. I just haven't had a chance to reach out to George, you know, because the first year is a lot. A lot gets thrown at you. And so, you know, maybe in the offseason when he's finally got this first season under his belt, you know, maybe I'll pop in there. Hopefully we can get some work done. Because George he's going to be good, whether you like it or not.
What's the thing that you learn most if you're at this stage in George Karloftis' career that, hey, this thing I used to do in college, I just can't do it anymore. I've got to adjust a little bit. What's that biggest adjustment?
These guys that you're playing with on this level are all good and playing at a high level. So you're not going to just beat people off talent anymore. That's the biggest learning curve when you get to the league. Some people are just gifted. Like, you know, our guy from Penn State, he's just gifted. You know, I don't even think he played defensive end or whatever he's doing. He just knows how to get to the quarterback and play football. And then the guys like us, you have to start mastering this craft early. And it's not going to be because you're going to be getting faster. You're not getting faster. You're not getting stronger. You're pretty much in a position where you have to now become a student of the game.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Tamba Hali for a few more minutes here. Just wanted to get some of his stories and get you ready for the AFC Championship game. You also got an opportunity to play the later stage of your career with Chris Jones. He's now morphed into, I still think Aaron Donald is one just because he's Aaron Donald and the career that he's put together. But I think it's now undeniable that Chris Jones is the second best defensive tackle in the National Football League. And I think he had a better year this year than Aaron Donald. What is it to see his evolution, to see where he is, where he's going to finish top three in defensive player of the year this season?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Chris, when we talked, it's not even being the first, the second, or the third. It's just being honest with yourself. You know, go out there and perform, give your best. The other guys are put in position to make plays. Not everyone is in that position. I remember when Romeo came. Romeo favored me. Said, I'm going to put you in all the positions to make plays. I'm going to make sure. So that's happening. And then there are guys who, like Chris, who's a team player. I'm going to do what I'm asked to do. So if you ask me who's the best defensive lineman, it's Chris. But he's not going to get that because he's not being called on to do what these other guys are doing at, you know, different places.
You and I have had a lot of conversations before, and you've always spoke really highly of Lamar. How cool is it that the Chiefs have another opportunity to win the trophy that's named after their original owner?
Well, you know, I was Clark's first draft pick and Lamar's last. So it's, you know, I didn't get a chance to meet. I met Lamar once. I remember one time he met me. I didn't know who Lamar was. You know, that's how crazy it is being in the league, don't even know who the owner of the team is. And, you know, I was a little annoyed because someone just kept staring at me in the locker room. And I looked at him and then I, you know, turned around. Before you know it, he was standing right in my back. And he's like, I'm Lamar Hunt. And I'm like, oh, you know, I got out of wherever I was. And then he passed the following year. But, you know, to me, it's a special deal because every time Clark comes in the meeting, that is the goal. To go back and get the trophy that's named after his father. And every year, they, you know, they've gotten to get a chance to, you know, go there and do that. That's huge. That's huge.
I'll get you out of here with these last two questions. We appreciate your time. When you think back to your time in Kansas City, you had a great career in Kansas City. You're going to be the Chiefs' Ring of Honor at some point, in my opinion. What do you think most back to your career?
The people in the lunchroom, those people were feeding me well, the video people. So the staff around the building, they made a tremendous impact in my life because I wasn't so fond of everyone who's, you know, who's doing good. I'm looking at those people in there and saying, man, these guys come here probably earlier than us and got to get all these things worked up. You know, like Allen, they're in that equipment room all, you know, washing out drawers every day, you know. So those people were really, I got to know those people over time and I realized, man, you're no different than none of these, all these people. And that's what I got being around the Chiefs. You know, the football is just a bonus.
A big thing that I think just this playoff kind of reaffirmed for me when we, you know, last week we saw Kansas City and we saw Jacksonville, like coach and culture, that if you can get those two things right, you can figure out some of the other stuff. But if you don't have those two things in line, you're just not going to win a lot of games. I think about where you guys were during the time. Mm-hmm. Culture was pretty bad at one point.
Yeah.
And then you turn things around and they go on this kind of run. I think about Jacksonville and their culture that you could tell that like the fabric was maybe always there with the Chiefs. They just needed the coach to kind of bring it all together. And once they brought it together, they started having a lot of success.
Yeah, I mean, the owner, you know, applaud our owner. He was ambitious at the time, and Andy just got out the job. And before I knew it, I was in the building, and I saw Andy in the building. So it's like, you know, Clark was not wasting time about how he felt about, you know, making our city a prominent city, especially when it comes to football. You know, it's a legacy.
I'll get you out of here with this. Do you want to give a message to Chiefs Kingdom?
We need to all show up this Sunday and go bananas. And when I'm saying bananas, whoever Joe Burrow is, he shouldn't, you know, when he leaves the stadium, his ears, he shouldn't be able to play the next game because of how loud it's going to be. And he's not making any checks. Whatever the plays are, let it be. And our guys just got to come out and support the Chiefs.
That is former Chiefs linebacker, defensive end, just a do-everything defensive guy, Tamba Hali, joining us in the studio. Tamba, you were one of my favorite players while you were here, man. I really appreciate you joining us to get people ready for the AFC Championship game.
I appreciate you, man.
Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to get you ready for Sunday's AFC Championship rematch against the Cincinnati Bengals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Patrick Mahomes joins the show Mondays at 2:15 and 5:15, right here on your official podcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Mitchell Schwartz, and you are listening to my friend C-Dot.
My former friend, my former pal. Mitchell Schwartz joins us in studio. Mitch, you knew how important banging the drum was to me.
On the Drive.
Welcome back Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Our playoff coverage here at 610 is brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. It is also brought to you by Metro Ford. You can visit their inventory online at kcmetroford.com. There was a tweet that came across my timeline, and I saved it early in the week because I knew that it was going to be important. I knew it was going to be vital to share this information with you guys. The tweet reads as follows. Joe Burrow's Cincinnati Bengals are 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Chiefs have led in the three games by 18, 14, and 7 points, respectively. The Chiefs have never trailed entering the fourth quarter. The Chiefs have trailed for an average of only 15 minutes each game. The Chiefs have trailed for an average of only 7 minutes and 52 seconds in the second half of the three games. The gap in the 3-0 margin between Cincinnati and Kansas City is incredibly thin. The three games have been decided each by a field goal. It has normally been a costly penalty, a costly mistake, a costly turnover. Something has happened late in these football games that has been the difference. I think this game comes down to really three very simple keys. Can you protect the football? The Chiefs lost the turnover differential the last time that these two teams played. I don't have to tell you the important turnover that happened late in that game that flipped the game. The Chiefs, in my opinion, were about to win the football game. They then turned the ball over late. Cincinnati capitalized. They win the football game. Can you protect Patrick Mahomes? I don't think the ankle is going to allow him to be 100%. How close to 100% is he? We don't know. We'll see on Sunday. But the ankle's not going to allow him to be 100%. Maybe he doesn't have the ability to do all of the things that he normally does. This offensive line has to play well not only in pass-blocking situations, but run-blocking situations. They have to run the football well and take pressure off of Patrick Mahomes. We have seen at times the Chiefs go into a Mahomes-save-us offense where the Chiefs have to throw it 45, 50, 55 times. I don't think that can be the game script here for the Chiefs. If that's the game script, I think something went wrong for Kansas City. I think this team is going to have to be balanced. I think they're going to have to control the line of scrimmage on the offensive side. And on the defensive side of the football, they have to do a better job of getting pressure against Joe Burrow than they've gotten in these three matchups. The first time, they got four sacks against Joe Burrow. The penalties is what really did them in the first matchup last year in the regular season. The last two times, they have gotten one sack in each of those games. I don't even really consider them getting a sack in the regular season game earlier this year. Burrow was really stuck in no man's land. He could have threw the ball out of bounds, but it would have stopped the clock. The Bengals didn't want to stop the clock, so he just fell to the ground. He got a touch. That counts as a sack, but that wasn't a got pressure, beat the right guard, beat the right tackle, got a sack on Joe Burrow. It wasn't one of those, it's second and eight, you now make it a third and 15, and Arrowhead is going crazy, kind of defensive plays that can shift momentum. Those are the kind of situations that I think Kansas City needs to force and needs to be in. In each of these three games, there has been a couple of mistakes that have decided the game. In the first game, Ja'Marr Chase had the catch for 30 yards on 3rd and 27. If you get a stop on that play, you win the game. The Chiefs had multiple penalties in a goal-to-go situation on the Bengals' game-winning drive. The Bengals kick it. They win by three. In the second game, the mistake at the end of the first half that completely spiraled the Chiefs in the second half, they get a new lease on life in the second half, in the overtime period. Patrick Mahomes throws an interception. That's the end of the game. Cincinnati kicks a game-winning field goal to go to Los Angeles in the Super Bowl. And then the last matchup, Harrison Bucker misses a possible game-tying kick. Travis Kelce has the fumble. Can the Chiefs avoid the major critical mistake that has largely been the reason why they lost to Cincinnati?
They can't get out of their own way. But in that same vein, and Mitchell Schwartz said this on the show Tuesday, and other people have said this on the show, I just forget. I think Pete Sweeney said it too. I understand the Chiefs have always had the costly mistake, and if they eliminate the costly mistake, they win these games. But shouldn't we be crediting the Bengals for being in the game and forcing the costly mistake? It was you who on this show said the Chiefs are to the Chargers what the Bengals are to the Chiefs. They are always in the game. They're never out of it. And when the other team slips up, they take advantage of it. I understand your point, and I agree. If they eliminate the bad football, to quote Romeo Crennel, Tamba Hali's old coach, you feel good about it. But we have to credit the Bengals for forcing those errors. The Chiefs ran a play for Tyreek Hill, one of the fastest guys in the world, in space at the end of the AFC Championship game at the end of half. They tackled him. That's credit to them. They did that. Travis Kelce doesn't fumble. It just doesn't happen. He's not a turnover guy. They ripped the ball right out of his hands. That's a credit to them. Yes, the penalties at the end of the game, credit helped them win the first regular season game, but on 3rd and 27, Ja'Marr Chase went up and made a play. That's what you have to credit them sometimes when they make plays and cause mistakes for your team.
I don't disagree with you at all. Cincinnati has done a really good job of forcing turnovers and also capitalizing off of those turnovers. But a lot of this, I would say, has been self-inflicted in ways from the Chiefs. I looked this stat up because I was curious. Over these three games, the Bengals have had 6 scoring drives that have been aided by Chiefs defensive penalty on 3rd or 4th down. So, Rob, it'll be 3rd and 7. Chiefs force an incompletion. They're about to get the football back. Wait, there's a flag. Defensive holding. Automatic 1st down. Cincinnati advances the ball on the 1st down. Wait, it's 4th and goal. Chiefs win the football game. Oh, wait, Snead. Illegal hands to the face. Automatic 1st down. Cincinnati can now knee the ball and kick the field goal here. I don't disagree with you. Some of the mistakes is a really good football team forcing the mistakes and capitalizing on the mistakes. The Chiefs have beat themselves in these games, and this is where I give Cincinnati a lot of credit. I think the Chiefs are one of the best teams in the league at waiting for you to make a mistake, and once you make the mistake, they capitalize on the mistake. That's how they beat the Chargers. They wait for the Chargers to do something Chargers. They then take it 99 yards in a pick 6. The Bengals have a way of turning that against the Chiefs, and when the Chiefs make a mistake, they have then capitalized on those mistakes and found a way to win the game. So I don't disagree with you on Cincinnati, but I do think we have to acknowledge that some of these losses, some of these situations that arise in the game, the Chiefs have just put themselves in those situations, and the Chiefs just need to play a cleaner game than they've played so far. I don't think that there is a major difference between these two teams. You've got really talented offenses, really high-end coaches, great quarterback play. I think the Bengals defense is a little bit better, but I think a Chiefs defense that has been largely underrated and disrespected for most of the season, these two teams are fairly even. Who can protect the quarterback, who can protect the ball, who can control the line of scrimmage? Cincinnati has done a better job of that the first 3 matchups. I think there's a chance for Kansas City to turn that around in this game, but you don't do that without Isaiah Pacheco having a good game. I don't think you do that without Frank Clark and Chris Jones as well.
I think you're right. I think the key to the game is a defensive line. And you've been saying on this show multiple times today, and I don't think it's a hot take. I think the key to the game is Chris Jones and Frank Clark. Can they go out and can they dominate? And if they can, I think the Chiefs are going to win because they're playing against a broken and battered offensive line for the Bengals. But it's worth noting, for anyone who thinks it's broken and battered offensive line, the same group of rummies and schmoes came in here last year and they blocked Chris Jones and held Joe Burrow upright all game, and it led to a win. If Chris Jones wants that contract, if Frank Clark wants to be the shark and not the tummy ache, then he goes out and he dominates this week against a bad offensive line.
Am I crazy in thinking this? Because I was on a radio show for FanDuel earlier today, and they were asking me some of the player props, prop bets that I like. And I'm like, yeah, sure, of course. So we're going through it, and they asked me a question about Isaiah Pacheco. And right now on FanDuel, if you want to go on there, his over-under for rushing yards is 48.5. I don't think there is any path to victory that includes Isaiah Pacheco hitting the under on rushing yards. If this game script is Patrick Mahomes threw it 51 times, something went wrong in this. I think you're going to need to be balanced. I think you're going to need to control the line of scrimmage. I feel really good about the Pacheco over. I think they're just going to have to run the football. Now, I don't think that Andy's running Isaiah Pacheco 24 times in this matchup, But I think Pacheco gets between 14 to 17 carries in this game. I think he's going to need to. The offensive line held up the first time. They ran the ball effectively against Cincinnati earlier this year. Under 50, I think, is pretty disrespectful for a team's number one running back. I think they're going to use Jerick McKinnon much more in the pass game and the screen game, and I think we're going to see Andy and Bienemy really draw some things up. But since becoming the starter, Isaiah Pacheco is averaging 65 yards a game rushing. Not counting anything he's giving you from a pass-catching standpoint. He's averaging 65 yards a game. I'm surprised that Pacheco's run number, especially with Mahomes' injury, I'm shocked that Pacheco's over-under on rush yards is so low. I just don't see how the Chiefs win this game if on Monday we're talking about Isaiah Pacheco had 10 carries for 33 yards. I just don't see how the Chiefs win that kind of game. Now, maybe Jerick McKinnon just goes crazy and he's the hot hand, but the Chiefs have shown a commitment to giving Isaiah Pacheco the football. Like, I don't know if we can really complain a whole lot about Pacheco not being involved in the offense, not getting touches, not getting opportunities. I think he's going to get 14 to 17 carries. That guy rushes for like 60 yards in the game, 65 yards in the game.
I will also say this, that on top of as much as I hate the run game, and you know how much I hate the run game, it hurts me to like the run game. The last time we saw these two teams match up in the AFC Championship game, what did the Bengals do? I've talked about a lot this week. They rushed three, they dropped eight. They begged Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to dink and dunk. They couldn't do it. You know the other thing they were begging the Chiefs to do in that game because you're dropping eight in coverage? Run on us. Come and get us. We're going to play your pass game. We're going to play you deep. We're going to irritate you. We're going to test your patience, and you have nothing that can stop us. Do you know how you get them out of that defense? Do you know how you stop it? You pound the rock. You get four and a half, 5 yards of carry. You get college football rushing numbers against this defensive line. It needs to look like the Army or Navy, which no offense to the schools themselves, but generally have lesser athletes against Notre Dame. Just run the ball down their throat. You have the superior player, because if they're going to drop a D tackle or a D end and drop out their linebackers all day, then you say, thank you. We don't have to have Patrick Mahomes run around and be a playmaker on a bum wheel. You know what we can do? We can pound Pacheco. 48.5 is disrespectful to two people. One, Pacheco, and you nailed it. And two, Andy Reid. He might have his flaws with the run game, but you know what he does? He knows football, and he knows that they're going to play him pass first. And if he pounds the rock, he's got to feel good.
Rob, are you saying that you think the Chiefs should commit to running the football in this game?
I'm saying the over-under is disrespectful to the ability to commit to the run.
I mean, this is cause for celebration.
2, 3, here we go. Don't want to wait till the sun's sinking. We could be feeling all right. I know you know what I'm thinking. Why don't we do a little day drinking?
I mean, we got to celebrate this, Rob. We've talked to football a lot. I've never heard you speak so positively about the run game. Is it because your birthday is coming up, man? I get it. I can't believe what I just heard there. You think they should give Isaiah Pacheco the ball? You think they should commit to running the football? What's going on here? This is a new, improved version of Rob Brenton. A new and improved version. I can't believe it. We asked this question earlier, 913-586-7610. I'll ask it to you guys here. Which one of these four do you view as the most important X factor? In this game, you're going to need Travis Kelce to play well. Let's put him off the list. He's going to the Hall of Fame. In this game, I think you're going to need Isaiah Pacheco to run the football effectively to win this game. So let's take him off the list. I think they're going to need one other offensive player to play well in this game. I think they're going to need a 75-yard day from one of these four people. Who do you think does it? The options are Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Jerick McKinnon, Kadarius Toney. Those are the four. I think the answer is Jerick McKinnon for this reason. Jerick McKinnon was one of the most productive pass catchers in the NFL the last 9 weeks of the season. He had 8 touchdowns their final 6 games. He provided a different wrinkle for their offense. A lot of those plays are really run plays. That the Chiefs don't run the ball in a traditional sense, the way that maybe people want them to. But if you throw it to Jerick McKinnon 6 times, you know what that is? Running the football. It's just a modern, more innovative way of running the football. I think McKinnon's going to have to factor into this game. He didn't get a target against Jacksonville. They didn't really use him in the game against the Raiders for obvious reasons. That was the game in which they won comfortably. I think this is the game in which you got to give Jerick McKinnon 5, 6, 7 targets. You've got to throw it quick out of the backfield, screenplay, be creative, try to get him in space and try to make a guy miss, and you use that as an extension of the run game. I think Mahomes is going to need to get the ball out of his hands quickly. I think he's going to need to try to get the ball in the hands of playmakers in space in this way. I would press the button for Jerick McKinnon. If you're asking me out of those four, McKinnon, Tony, MVS, and Juju, I'd press the button for Jerick McKinnon.
I press the button for Juju, and here's why. And as much I just said about the run game and testing Andy Reid's patience and et cetera, man, Andy's been here since 2013. You know what we know about Andy? He's like me. He doesn't love the run game. It just exists. He's a 65-35 guy, and I respect him for it. So when the Bengals do that, come and get us, drop guys out, test your patience play, you know what Andy Reid needs to dial up? Hey, Juju Smith-Schuster, here's a 3-yard hitch. Go fight for 2 more. Now it's 2nd and 5. Now we're in 2nd and manageable. Hey, it's a 3rd and 2. We're going to run a quick hitch. Juju Smith-Schuster, quick out. Juju Smith-Schuster, you need to pound the ball to Juju Smith-Schuster because, like I mentioned earlier, what did they do last year in the title game? They dropped everyone and said, you're not going to beat us deep. And all offseason, before they traded Tyreek Hill, we heard about how they needed a chain mover. Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, they don't have chain movers on this team. Then they trade Hill. And everyone's like, oh, man, well, they got all these weapons now. They're going to spread the wealth. They have more chain movers. Mahomes is not going to be forced to go look for one big play. He's going to be able to take, you know, slow and plodding, da-da-da. They haven't really done that this year. If the Bengals are going to test your patience, give the ball to Juju. I have him if I could push the button for anyone on that list.
I want to play some audio for you guys before we sign off for the week. You guys might remember the mayor of Cincinnati earlier in the week tried to moonlight as a stand-up comedian. He tried to moonlight as a funny guy, tried to be a Bill Burr, tried to be a ha-ha-ha funny guy. Well, it went over very poorly.
It is so galvanizing and energizing that our Cincinnati Bengals are again in the AFC Championship. Yes, that's right. Who day, baby? Who day? I will be going on Saturday morning. I'll be arriving in Kansas City, so I'll be at the game at Burrowhead Stadium. See what I did there? No? No? Okay. I love that.
I mean, that joke didn't go over with your base. I mean, you're talking to Cincinnati residents, Bengals fans, people that want to see them win and go back to its second consecutive Super Bowl for the city. You couldn't even properly execute a Burrowhead joke. You got crickets. You were like Claire in Wedding Crashers when she went up and tried to give that speech. You tried to be funny. That ain't what the room wanted you to be. They wanted something heartfelt. She didn't do it. Well, you know what? The sign of any man is knowing that when it's time to quit while you're ahead. You're already down 10-0 in the joke department. But no, you think you got a comeback. You think you got a second lease on life. And he went out there and he tried to make another funny.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know, just kind of weird. Now therefore, I, Aftab Pierval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as they gotta play us day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
I don't try to result in name calling. This is clown behavior. It's clown behavior. There's really no other way to put it. Clown behavior. We're going to keep it football, keep it football. You know, you want to call a Burrowhead a little funny, ha-ha. We making paternity test jokes? We making Maury Povich jokes? Weak. The Bengals have no hardware. They've been to one Super Bowl. They're carrying around like they're the New England Patriots, like they're the Golden State Warriors, like they're Georgia football. I really want the Chiefs to beat them just for the fallout. That guy shouldn't experience happiness over the weekend. What's that saying? God don't like ugly. He can't reward that kind of cornball behavior. We'll be back on Monday. Happy AFC Championship weekend to you and yours. We appreciate you. Hopefully you're back on Monday. But in the meantime, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.